Do you have questions about your health? Do you need to find out what's keeping you from feeling your absolute best? If so, your intuition has guided you to the right place. I am Dr. Charlize, and welcome to the Art of Healing podcast community. In this podcast, we explore all topics in health and wellness, from Reiki to functional medicine, energy medicine, chakras, and meditation. Join me every week for fresh new episodes that highlight healers, various healing modalities, and use this as your opportunity to find what healing works best for you. If you want to learn more about me, simply Google at Dr. Charlize. Enjoy. Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for joining me for today's very special episode. I am joined by a special guest who I'm so honored to have. Dr. Selena Smith is a mother, an advocate, a nurturer, a lover, a warrior, a healer, and a teacher. She originally comes from San Marcos, Texas. She is a very highly educated and highly trained therapist. She has received her master's degree from Howard, and she has also received her PhD in counseling and psychology from the University of Oklahoma. She has now opened her own practice, which is offering extremely unique services, including coaching services for life and relationship, and she can be found at realliberation.com. I would definitely recommend you check her out if you are interested in making your life and your relationships better. Dr. Selena is joining me to discuss our relationships and our health, and I'm so happy for this episode. Enjoy. All right. All right, Dr. Selena, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Art of Healing podcast. Listeners, this is so special to have her expertise with us today. I really want to talk about relationships. So, of course, this is February and it's like Valentine's Day. And so people are all in love or whatever. I mean, I'm not in love with anyone, but I know a lot of you are feeling all the love. But I want Dr. Selena to offer some of her guidance and wisdom with us. So Dr. Selena, if you just want to briefly introduce yourself to the listeners.
All right. Thank you for having me, Dr. Davis. It's an honor and a privilege to be on this podcast with you. And so thank you for all your support and everything as I embark on this new adventure. So my name is Dr. Selena Smith. So I met Dr. Davis, when was it? Maybe 2014? It was maybe 2014.
Probably 2014. Yeah.
I was on a hunt for a physician. And so it was really important to me that I found a physician who looked like me, because I had had some not so great experiences with physicians. And so I remember when I first met you, it was like, this is my tribe. This is where I need to be. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, you see me through a whole lot of different things. But I am a life and relationship coach. My training is in counseling psychology. So I have my PhD in counseling psychology that I received in 2013 from the University of Oklahoma. And prior to that, I attended Howard University for my bachelor's and my master's degrees. Way back, I graduated in 2002 with my bachelor's and then 2004 with my master's. And so I've worked in a variety of different settings, community mental health. I've taught at the University of Oklahoma in the African American Studies program. I've worked in a women's prison here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I currently have my own practice, but prior to that, I was working with the VA hospital. So I've done a little bit of everything. I've done nonprofit work and everything. I feel like has kind of led me to where I am today, all of those experiences. So my passion is helping people heal, especially with regard to their mental health. So that's what I love to do, and that's what I've been blessed to be able to do.
Listeners, I'm going to be frank. I try to stay humble, but I have amazing patience. And I mean, it's just everything in me to just keep from just, but I have known Dr. Selena for many years, and I've watched her transform in ways that are beyond description. I've watched her transform in just amazing ways. So I don't want to brag too much because I mean, that is just, I am bragging, but I have amazing.
Role, yes, especially when I first met you. I think I was working in a women's prison. So I was
you were
down in them trenches. I was
you were
tremendously, yeah. But you know what? That was one of my most fulfilling and rewarding jobs ever. As rough as it was, like I think about them every day. I still miss them, the women in the prison. Not the,
yeah.
Stuff that I had to deal with. So I'm blessed to know you.
I am so lucky that you are able to share your time and expertise with me on a topic that I don't really get much time to devote to. As a physician and a Reiki master, I can talk to my clients and my patients about relationships, but honestly, it's pretty difficult because it's not my expertise. It really isn't my expertise. I can diagnose clinical things, but you know, when it comes down to it, are the health of our relationships, it represents our health. I've shared with my listeners and my readers that I've recently been working on becoming certified in lifestyle medicine, and there's 6 main tenets of lifestyle medicine. One of those are relationships, the health of the relationship. So since I've got Dr. Selena, I wanted to ask her to define for us healthy relationships in a few different scenarios. So Dr. Selena, let's start with, what does a healthy parent-child relationship look like, especially for you being a young mother? Can you describe what that would look like for us?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I am a mother. I have a 3-year-old daughter who keeps me on my toes, to say the least. And so, you know, even before I had her, I wanted to be very intentional about the kind of relationship that I built with her from the very beginning. And so when I think about parent-child relationships and healthy ones, one of the first things I think about is transparency. You know, I don't think I can recall often growing up having parents who were transparent and pretty open about just their own, you know, mistakes. You know, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Something as basic as that, right? You know, some days I have more challenging days and I may be a little shorter with my daughter. And so it's really important to me to have those conversations like, hey, mommy didn't mean to talk to you like that. Or mommy didn't, you know, mommy was listening to you even if it didn't seem like I was. Mommy's sorry. You know, so I think being able to admit your humanness and let your children see those aspects of who you are, having a voice, allowing your child to have a voice and have opinions and have feelings and validating those experiences, I think is important in a parent-child relationship. And I think something that goes across the board, and no matter what kind of relationship we're talking about, is making sure that people feel heard and seen and valued. I know a lot of times, you know, there's that saying that children are, what is it meant to be seen and not heard?
Seen,
is that
the not heard.
Yeah. And I feel like that mindset is very damaging because it can affect the child's development and their sense of worth and value. And so I think with a parent-child relationship, you know, there is a dynamic of power, right? So the parent does kind of have that caretaking role and also, you know, protecting your child from harm and danger. But also, I think it's important that a child knows that you as a parent can learn from them. They have something to offer you. And so I feel like my daughter's constantly teaching me things, and I'm letting her know that she's teaching me something new. And just, you know, love a space where people can heal and make mistakes. And I feel like, again, that goes across the board, you know, and just any kind of healthy relationship, giving people space to be human and make mistakes and, you know, recover and be forgiven, and, you know, just giving people grace. You know, kids have rough days. Lord knows they have rough days, but, you know, not holding it against them, you know, not withholding love or affection because, you know, they may be having a moment. Is important because they need to know that they're loved no matter what, whether they're having a rough day or not. So those are the kind of things that I feel like are important in that parent-child relationship to help them grow and to be healthy individuals that have healthy relationships outside of the parent-child relationship.
That is so cool, especially you mentioned that, you know, that the power dynamic. So it's important mm-hmm. for children to know that mm-hmm. you are seen and heard. So of course, this is the month of love and romantic love. So how does Dr. Selena define healthy romances, healthy partnerships, healthy marriages? I don't want to give it too many titles because a lot mm-hmm. of people will be in some form of that sort right, of right. non-platonic romantic love. Mm-hmm. How would you define that?
So I think a lot of those things ring true that I named for the parent-child dynamic as well, right? So making sure that your partner feels heard and seen and valued and affirmed, even if you don't understand them, even if you don't agree with them, there's still value to whatever they're bringing. There's value to their perspectives, to their opinions and things like that. So making people feel valued, loved, creating a space for healing, because we're all flawed. We all have different, you know, forms of trauma that we've experienced. And so providing space for people to heal, to have a corrective emotional experience. So, you know, throughout your life, people haven't really shown up for you. So you may have a hard time asking for help. Hopefully in that romantic relationship, they can ask for help and experience somebody showing up for them, actually. Or if they're unable to show up in that moment, being able to have a conversation about what's going on, why they can't show up for you. Because people can't show up for you all the time. That's just what it is. But it's how it's handled. I think being able to work through disconnection. So part of being in a true relationship with anyone, you're going to have moments of disconnection. But I think it's how you work through those moments that really matters. And being able to move past them. So creating a space where you can disagree, where you can get mad at one another. Like, I feel like if you're not able to do those, you don't really have a true relationship of any kind if you can't have those ugly moments. And again, like I said, space for grace, openness, I think is important, flexibility, and allowing people to be who they are, you know, not who you expect them to be, who you want them to be, but allowing people to truly be who they are and still feel worthy of your love and affection. So again, not withholding any of that because you may feel some kind of way about them or what they've done. And being able to bring your true self too. So, you know, having a voice, feeling empowered, feeling encouraged and supported. I feel like those are all important parts of a healthy partnership for sure.
So cool, especially, you know, during these times of years, like the holidays and during Valentine's Day, a lot of our stereotypical images of relationships, they get boiled down to like, I just want the ring and the big engagement and the da-da-da. And that, when you think about it, that's like really stressful. Like
It is. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of creating a relationship that works for the people involved. Like, so, you know, gender roles or just those expectations that maybe society may place on who a person should be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're able to leave a lot of those behind and just build something that works for you and your partner, then, you know, it'll work for you and your partner. But if you try to, you know, do what society says we should be or who we should be in a relationship, then you're setting yourself up for some problems for sure.
Another type of relationship that, I don't know, maybe this gets talked about more than I think about, but our friendships are friendships. So how do you define healthy friendships?
You know, I don't think friendships, especially as we get older, I don't think we talk about those enough, because those relationships are just as important for our well-being. But also, you know, like the loss of those friendships, especially, you know, if you outgrow each other or, you know, just things happen, you know, the grief that comes with losing those relationships can be just as profound, if not more, than losing a family member. But we don't really talk about those things. So again, I feel like a lot of the things I said before apply to healthier friendships as well. You know, in fact, I think friendship is kind of foundational to a healthy partnership. And so I don't think there's too many differences when I think about it, except maybe the intimacy. But I still feel like in friendships, we have intimacy. It may look differently, but especially, you know, speaking from my perspective, I feel like friendships with women, you know, female to female relationships, friendships are so healing and so therapeutic in a way that it's hard to explain, you know, but I just feel like, you know, being able, we have so many shared experiences as women. And so having a space where you can actually like take off the mask and, you know, be bare and, you know, bear it all and have somebody who's right there in it with you, who gets it, is one of the most healing things ever. And so I'm a huge proponent of good friendships, like, especially with my girls, like we can talk about anything. We can go any length of time without talking. And I feel like that's a big part of a good friendship, is that you don't take things personally. Like, so if we go a couple of months without talking, or even, you know, life sometimes happens where you might go a year or so without talking, you can pick right back up where you left off as if nothing happened, because nobody's taking things personally. Everybody has life going on. And so you understand, like, people may not always be able to answer the phone. People may not always be able to text you right back. Sometimes people forget to text you back. It's not personal. People have a lot of things going on, especially I feel like in this season right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives. And so you have compassion. And again, like word grace, again, you show people grace, because you know people are really doing the best that they can. It may look different from day to day, from week to week. Ultimately, people are doing the best they can. And so if you have that compassion and that grace and, you know, giving people the benefit of the doubt in your life, usually they're not that they've forgotten about you. They just have stuff going on and they're trying to juggle everything. And so I feel like those are important components of a friendship as well. You know, you disagree, you may go some time without talking, but life will show you like what's really important. And it's like, you know what? Okay. It's not that serious. We are good. I love you. You're an important part of my life. So I feel like, yeah, friendships are foundational to me.
So, and as you're saying this, I'm thinking so much how I don't really get the opportunity with my own patients to reflect on these relationships. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is by the time they're coming in to see me, that's the background. That's like, it has run the show up until they walk into the exam room and like, you know, but the way it's, you know, I don't get to discuss it. It just, you know, just gets swept away. But
yeah. And I don't think we realize how important they are. You know, like if you think about it from the moment you come into the world, into this earth, like, relationships are what sustains us. Our relationship with our caregiver, our mom, you know, like those attachments and those relationships are what helps us get through life. And so if you have any kind of disconnect or any kind of fragmentation in one of these relationships that's really pivotal, really important to you, you can feel like your whole world is falling apart. Truly.
So, yeah. So from your experience in working with your patients, how does that show up if someone has one of these major relationships affected? How does it show up in their world when you're working with your patients?
Oh, gosh, it can show up in the form of, you know, like I'll use some clinical terms first. So depression, anxiety, right? If you're feeling disconnected or if you're having a major disconnect in your life with somebody who's important, I mean, that can take the wind out of yourself. That can affect your ability to get out of bed from day to day. That can affect your appetite. That can affect your ability to focus on stuff. And you may not even put it together, right? But you just know that you're feeling like a profound sense of loss and emptiness. Let's say you're going through a breakup, or just one of your best friends are at odds and just not talking. It can affect your ability to sleep. It can make you want to sleep too much. It can affect your alcohol intake, your substance use. It can make you want to withdraw from people altogether and not even be around people. It can make you angry. It can make you irritable. It manifests in all of those different kinds of ways. It can make you clingy and not want to let go of some of the people who are close to you because you're just so afraid of abandonment or loss. And so, yeah, it's crazy how it can affect everything. It can affect, you know, your weight. You could experience hair loss because of the stress. Just all kinds of things that you may not even connect to that. But it's all grief, ultimately.
There was one other relationship type I forgot to ask you about. If you don't mind, if we circle back to this one, can you describe healthy coworker relationships? I totally missed that one. Sorry.
It's okay. That can be tricky, right? Because you spend a lot of time with these people, especially if you're still going into the office, right? A lot of people are back in the office now. And so when you think about it, you're spending a big part of your week with these people. And so I feel like feeling heard and seen and valued and feeling like you have a voice, feeling like you matter. I feel like trust is an important piece of it. And it may not be necessarily trusting someone with your deep, dark stuff, but just the fact that I trust you to be who you present yourself to be, even, you know? And I feel like sometimes in some work environments that can get tricky where you don't feel safe enough because you don't know who's who and who you can really trust and who really has your best interest at heart. And so I feel like that authenticity and that trust is important in your coworker relationships too, like your supervisors. Like I trust them to do what they say they're going to do or, you know, vouch for me to say, you know, so I think all of that's important, trust. And even I think trusting that people will show up for you, right? So some days you may not be your best, but trusting that they're not going to throw you under the bus or do something to try to harm your standing in the company or wherever you work. So I feel like trust is a huge part of a coworker relationship for sure. And it's up to you how much of them you give to yourself, but I do feel like if you don't have trust or safety, then that can be a shaky relationship for sure.
So, and this is sort of a broad question, but I think for the listeners, Ian, as I'm listening, and I'm thinking about all of these relationships in my own life, and I'm thinking about which ones, as you describe them, fit that description, like, oh, good, sounds healthy. And which one of these relationships, like, oh, yeah, that needs some work. oh, that's a little tragic.
Right.
With your advice, your knowledge base, can you help me, help the listeners, help us figure out what we can do to show up better on our end? Because as you're describing this, and the theme that I'm catching on is that in these relationships between me and the other, there's a part that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, so I'm not seeking to control the other person's part. Mm-hmm. It's the part that's mine. So how can I show up better in my relationships?
Well, I think all of those things that we desire, right, from other people, we should bring those to the table, right? So with the people, for example, your friends, show them compassion, show them grace, Allow them to be human. Create a space where they do feel safe to be vulnerable and take off their mask and just kind of be. Creating a space where people don't feel judged. Where people feel loved and accepted for who they are. And it also takes you taking risks, right? Like, you want people to take a chance on you and give you a chance to show up for them, but you've also got to put yourself out there, which for me is a hard thing. Like, I will show up for people day and night, but for me to like allow people to have to show up, that's hard for me. And I can be completely transparent about that. But it takes you taking risks too and allowing people to show up for you and show you showing them that you trust them with an important part of who you are, which is your heart, right? Like, so that's tricky. That's hard. And it also is risky because they can let you down. But how do you work through those moments when they do let you down, when they don't show up for you? But also being aware that if something is happening too consistently, like somebody not showing up for you or somebody doing things that feel like they can't be trusted, you have to pay attention to those things too, because, you know, we definitely have opportunities to see red flags or see that people aren't necessarily maybe the healthiest for us or in a healthy space in that season. So paying attention to that. You have to pay attention to that, because otherwise you're setting yourself up to be hurt over and over again. So, yeah, red flags, right?
So that brings me to something that is for the listeners, and I hope you all get the sense as well that having Dr. Selena here, this is so valuable, because you know, we focus so much on the physical body and the physical mm-hmm. symptoms, and we in our medical practice and in American society, we just totally attempt to override this part of it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Selena, a really common thing I see in my patients, and again, as we're talking about this, I'm like, we just never go here, but a really common appointment for Dr. Davis is the same day appointment for someone who is having chest pain and extremely high blood pressure. And so you come in, and, you know, we're doing all this stuff. We got to make sure I have a heart attack. And then just within a 30-second clip or 30-second little bit, they'll come in about had a fight with my spouse, had a disagreement with my spouse last night. Now, in my role, that part never even gets documented, because I got to make sure they're not having a heart attack or a stroke.
Right.
But that's, you know, really common theme, like, you know, the high blood pressure, chest pain, fight with mm-hmm. the spouse, mm-hmm. You know, having a lot of physical symptoms, and it turns out loss of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think, if you don't mind, let's circle back through. So let's say, How would you say that, like, if we have an unhealthy...
Let's be transparent, right?
You can use me as an example. Oh, let's be transparent. Yeah.
Yeah. You can use me as an example. Let's use the beginning of this year. Want to go
further? Oh, my God. Well, I have a little disclaimer with Dr. Selena, although, you know, I'm going to be frank. If I'm going to say anything about you, what it's going to be is that I made a prediction about you. We did some energy work together, and I am pleased as can be that this young woman is glowing. She's shining. She has embraced her light. I mean, really, that's what I think when I look at you. You have a few blood pressure issues, but your blood pressure issues is because you were on the verge of where you know.
Yeah. And so that's what you made me think about, is just that space I was in at the beginning of the year where my blood pressure was high and you were running all these tests, right? Mm-hmm. So let's see, the end of January, I contracted COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was down for over 2 weeks, right? I feel like I was sick for longer than 2 weeks. But so me and my daughter had to quarantine together. I was sick. She never tested positive, no signs, no anything.
That's right.
But
that's right. Yeah.
I was like sick, trying to take care of her and make sure I stayed alive. Like, COVID was rough. So I went through that in January and into February. Then a couple of weeks later, I went through a breakup with my boyfriend, mm-hmm. which was unexpected. And we had been together for a while, but we had history, right? So we dated in college, and then we reconnected last year. So we were dating, and it was pretty serious. So then we broke up out of nowhere. And then what else did I have? Had a stressful job because I was working in the VA with veterans. And specifically, I was working with veterans in rural Oklahoma. And this was during the time a lot of stuff was going on in the country politically, right? So I was dealing with a lot of...
Your workload was increasing, and you had no control over that. You know, your workload was building, and you were not allowed any control.
No control. And then I was dealing with a lot of, you know, microaggressions were being thrown at me during sessions. And so I'm sitting with that and trying to be therapeutic with people. And so I'm having blood pressure issues. Surprise. And, you know, you did all the exams and tests and everything was showing up okay. Checking out just fine, right? My blood work, everything. And I have a therapist as well. So Dr. Davis and my therapist were both saying, like, Selena, look at what you've been through these past several months. Like, I remember you said, like, you tell everything as if it's just like a story or something you're reading off, you know, out of a book. And yeah, I was so disconnected from everything, but I had a lot of loss, a lot of, you know, trauma, a lot of just different things that I just wasn't even dealing with. I wasn't even slowing down to think about those things because who has time? Who has time to really process anything? Who has time to heal when you got a job and a child and, you know, you're just trying to get through each day. But yeah, you made me slow down and just think and process and like experience the emotions that I should have felt with all of those other things that I just did not allow myself to slow down and feel.
And so in your particular case, this was easy to do with you. Because you're open because of who you are. And then you're also very empowered. You take charge. You know, when someone's developing high blood pressure, this is going to be a luxury we may or may not have, depending on what's going on. But when it was becoming apparent your blood pressure was, you know, staying elevated, you were open to having the discussion, and you understood that with so many things going, being head of household, a professional woman working in one of the most stressful fields in the most stressful time in a very stressful setting, having a major loss on your own, all of those things adding up. You know, typically the story would probably end up where we wouldn't really have that luxury. We wouldn't have that space to dig and say, hey, what's going on with you? We would probably have to move to just medications to prevent sickness. But so it was, I mean, with you, we were able to delve in there, but you're exactly right. As you went through it. Now I'll be frank, as you were going through it, I wasn't that woke or wise. I just didn't want you to have to go on medicine and stay on it. You fixed it yourself.
A lot of doctors wouldn't do that. A lot of doctors would just put me on the highest dose or whatever and keep it moving. But we were both pretty clear about not wanting to be on a super strong medication for a long period of time. Like, so I think a lot of that was you slowing me down and talking to me and also being very, what's the word, conservative in how we approached it. Like, you weren't pushing medication so I think that was a big part of you as well, in your approach to how you treat your patients.
Oh, thank you thank you so much. I still brag on you, but thank you so much.
That's amazing. I mean, that's an important part of the story. My story is that I feel like you've always, even when I was struggling in my work at the prison, you slowed me down to really pay attention to and assess just how stressful my environment is. Like, you know, I'm used to just going through it. Like, okay, this is what I do. I go to work. You know, I work in a prison. I'm in prison every day to an extent. Yeah. Running a mental health unit. So, you know, I was tired. I was exhausted, but I thought it was just because I was working a lot. No. My mood was affected. I was anxious and depressed and sleep disrupted and all of that. And I just,
as we are talking, and I'm realizing how I really plan to obligate Dr. Selena to come back because she has so much knowledge. But you touch on a topic that we'll have to. I've touched on this with other guests before, the toll of working with humans. Mm-hmm. And what it does to us. And mm-hmm. I know, and I think of you frequently because you have worked in prisons and mm-hmm. you've worked in the most stressful environments. Mm-hmm. What does that do to a person where you're so necessary? But mm-hmm. these are humans you're working with where, you know, their story, you mm-hmm. want to help, but their force is so much bigger.
Energy is real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And especially, I feel like my purpose part of my purpose is being a light for people, you know, and especially dark places. And so when you're going into a place that, and I don't care what anybody says, I feel like a prison is a place of darkness. Like, yes, they are supposed mm-hmm. to rehabilitate and supposed to, you know, help people mm-hmm. get on their feet. But that's not truly what it is. You know, it creates a dependency and people are actually scared to leave because they just feel ill-equipped to survive outside of it, you know, the prison. And so when you're trying to pour life and love and positivity into people who have been just beat down and told that they don't matter and treated as if they don't matter. That energy, you're fighting against some pretty powerful energy. And that if you don't have people around you pouring that love and light back into you, it can really, really, really be dangerous, I think. And I saw it firsthand from a lot of the people who worked there who didn't have that. It can be very dangerous.
So, Dr. Selena,
sorry, no,
you're fine. I want to make sure to let the listeners know that although they're meeting you through me for the first time, that you've got a practice, you've got a thriving mm-hmm. practice, and you're also on social media. Yeah. So, can you share with the listeners how they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I'm so caught up in talking to you. This is what we do. We talk and then I lose track. So yes, I have a business called Real Liberation Coaching and Consultation Services. And REAL is an acronym. It stands for Restore, Empower, Align, and Love. And I feel like all of those different pieces are important in healing, you know, restoration and feeling empowered, feeling aligned in your purpose, and being loved, feeling loved, being able to give love. And so I offer life coaching, relationship coaching, consultation services for organizations and businesses, or even individuals who are trying to become better at what they do. And I'm doing all this with, of course, the background, mental health background. That I've been trained in, and also just I feel like life coaching allows me to be more accessible to a lot of people. So made that shift recently, and so you can find me online. My website is www.realliberation.com. My Facebook is Real Liberation Coaching and Consultation Services. I think, let's see, Instagram is Real Liberation, at Real Liberation. Yeah, I should have been ready for this.
No, you're fine. And listeners, as always, if you listen to the podcast, I will make sure you have all of Dr. Selena's information. If you sign up for my newsletter, you will actually get a link to watch this video on YouTube as well as listen to the podcast. So I will make sure you know exactly how to reach Dr. Selena. She does have a nice service where you can connect with her initially, but I would definitely check out her website. I think that what she is offering is very powerful. She's going beyond our traditional behavioral health services, and to me is the entrance into the best version of who you want to become. So, Dr. Selena, thank you so much. I really hope you'll come back to the Art of Healing podcast.
Absolutely. You know, I love talking with you, and however I can help you and your listeners, I'll be more than happy to. That's what I'm here for, to help. So, yeah, hopefully I didn't ramble too much.
Oh my gosh, this was perfect. Dr. Selena, thank you so much. Oh, this was perfect. Thank you. Art of Healing podcast listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We'll connect next week. Check your show notes wherever you're listening. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Apple Podcasts. You can stream this episode of HealingArtsHealthAndWellness.com. I will make sure you know exactly how to find Dr. Selena. Thank you so much.
Until next week. All of my sessions are virtual, so you can live anywhere. Like, you don't have to be right here where we are. I don't have to do face-to-face. I offer virtual services for anyone.
She is worldwide. Thank you, Dr. Selena.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. All right.
All right, Dr. Selena, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Art of Healing podcast. Listeners, this is so special to have her expertise with us today. I really want to talk about relationships. So, of course, this is February and it's like Valentine's Day. And so people are all in love or whatever. I mean, I'm not in love with anyone, but I know a lot of you are feeling all the love. But I want Dr. Selena to offer some of her guidance and wisdom with us. So Dr. Selena, if you just want to briefly introduce yourself to the listeners.
All right. Thank you for having me, Dr. Davis. It's an honor and a privilege to be on this podcast with you. And so thank you for all your support and everything as I embark on this new adventure. So my name is Dr. Selena Smith. So I met Dr. Davis, when was it? Maybe 2014? It was maybe 2014.
Probably 2014. Yeah.
I was on a hunt for a physician. And so it was really important for me that I found a physician who looked like me, because I had had some not so great experiences with physicians. And so I remember when I first met you, it was like, this is my tribe. This is where I need to be. Oh gosh. So yeah, you see me through a whole lot of different things, but I am a life and relationship coach. My training is in counseling psychology. So I have my PhD in counseling psychology that I received in 2013 from the University of Oklahoma. And prior to that, I attended Howard University for my bachelor's and my master's degrees. Way back, I graduated in 2002 with my bachelor's, and then 2004 with my master's. And so I've worked in a variety of different settings, community mental health. I've taught at the University of Oklahoma in the African American Studies program. I've worked in a women's prison here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I currently have my own practice, but prior to that, I was working with the VA hospital. So I've done a little bit of everything. I've done nonprofit work, and everything I feel like has kind of led me to where I am today, all of those experiences. So my passion is helping people heal, especially with regard to their mental health. So that's what I love to do, and that's what I've been blessed to be able to do.
Listeners, I'm going to be frank. I try to stay humble, but I have amazing patience. It's just everything in me. Thank you so much for joining during this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Also, you can check your show notes to find out how to get a copy of this and future episodes emailed directly to your inbox, available to listen to anytime. Finally, if you have questions or wish to connect to me, check your show notes to find out how we can get connected and find out how I can be of service to you.